Bring your greetings in Jesus' name this evening. Enjoyed being here and worshiping with you thus far, and can trust that our worship to God can continue. The subject tonight we want to look at is the search to belong. And I'm thinking, well, you could think of the book Christmas Carol Kaufman wrote with that title, Story of a Foster Boy Searching for Identity in Life. And there's a sense in which we're all on such a journey to figure out where we're at and where we're going, what our purpose is here. We're not sure how we fit. There's several different aspects to that, and we'll think about that a little bit as we go along. But we're all on such a journey. And where does our life begin, in a sense, and where does it end? What's our purpose? Where are we going? The answer tonight, I believe, we'll find, starts with God, and it ends with God. And that's God's the answer to those questions as we go along. But in the process, we find ourselves somewhere in between. We all come from God, and we're going to end up facing God in the end, and we're somewhere in between in a journey there, and trying to find our way, and we face many different challenges that sometimes make us look at that in different ways. Let's start back in Genesis. You can turn with me to Genesis chapter 2. I want to look where man first appeared on the scene. A number of things here we're going to notice. The perfectness of the way God created man and how he belonged and fit where God made him. Genesis chapter 2. We'll pick out a couple verses here, 7 through 9. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And it goes on, describes it, the river going out of it. But God created man, created the garden like that, and had him there in it. Man belonged there. That's where his place was. It's where he lived. That's where God had put him. Now, I don't think he had any sense of searching to belong, of trying to figure out where he should be. Now, we see he wasn't complete there. There's one aspect of it that wasn't fulfilled, but God had placed him there and gave him a purpose in life. He was to work in that garden. He had a sense, a command to keep it, and so he had fulfillment as he did that from day to day. Of course, we're just talking about the first day or so here. He had a sense of what he could do and couldn't do. Most of the things were he could eat of the trees, but there was two trees that he was not to eat. So he had a definite line how far he could go. And that gave him a sense of fulfillment and security as he was there in that garden. Everything was perfect. Now, Genesis 2, jumping to verse 18, part of belonging or feeling fulfilled, feeling accepted, I guess I identify two different aspects of that. One is the sense of fulfillment, feeling productive, feeling like you're accomplishing something, you're worthwhile. Then there's also the aspect of companionship and acceptance. I believe those two different aspects are a big part of this subject today, the way God has created man, the way we are created with our needs and all. And in verse 18 here, the subject of companionship comes up. The Lord God said, "It is not good that a man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him." And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. And we find there that his need for companionship was filled. And it's interesting the way that story goes, the way it's recorded here for us, that he realized his need for companionship. God says that he created the animals at that point and had Adam name them, and none of them fit that need. None of them could meet that need within his heart. Seems like God had it planned that it would end up the way he wanted it to. All the animals were male and female. It seems like that would have, he would have thought of that. That would have been part of it, but it seems like the animals came to him and it was obvious that none of them could fill his need for companionship the way he was created to be. Was Adam, we sense a searching to belong there as he was looking at those animals, as he was searching for a companion for him. There was a need within him that needed to be fulfilled. And woman was created. And we see a belonging in family relationships like that. We see a complete belonging here in their innocence as they were there together. And God would come and commune with them. It was a perfect, perfect place for man to live. Perfect place to belong, to have as your home. The perfect home setting. We'd say that's a state of the perfect state. There was no sense of searching to belong there. There was no needs that they had that were unfulfilled. Everything was complete. But Satan enters the picture next. And again, there's reasons that God allowed Satan to come in and to tempt man, to bring him away from God, allow him to tempt man away from God and man to make a decision. But in Genesis 3, verses 4 through 7, the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. I see there a bit of the question being raised, are you sure you're where you belong? Are you sure you're where you fit? Do you have everything you need? Satan's raising those questions and trying to make man dissatisfied with where he was. Verse 6, And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened and that they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Suddenly, they had some questions. They didn't fit quite like they had before. Suddenly, something was wrong. They needed to make some adjustments. They needed to change some things. They started feeling uncomfortable. It was an opportunity to be as gods. A curiosity into the forbidden because of the lie. The lie that they didn't fully belong. They weren't where they belonged totally. There was a better place, and that was wrong. Refusal to believe what one was told of truth cemented a tragedy in the human race. The refusal to believe and accept God's word sent man on a quest, searching and trying to find his way, partly because of where it put him in relation to God, and partly because of the lie of the deceiver that there's more somewhere, wherever that is. It's different times as we go through life. We don't always accept the things that God has given us. Children, don't always believe the advice of the parents. The warning voice of authorities in our life is not always heeded, and we start searching and trying to find our way. Isn't there a better way? Isn't there a better place for us? And but it ends in the same tragedy that this did. God's plan, God's place for man is the best. Tempter tries to tell us there's a better place, there's other opportunities. But as we give up following God's direction and go in a search for that, it ends in tragedy. It ends in destruction, physically and spiritually. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. They didn't fit anymore like they had at all. The Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And jumping down to verse 22. And the Lord God said, "Behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil, and now, lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life." Now the search to belong has become very real. Now he didn't have a place that was where he belonged, and he needed to look and to search and to wander from place to place, find his existence. Now, I believe the way God has created us, he's created us with that desire to belong, and he wants that desire to bring us to him and to help us to find acceptance with him. But man, in his quest to satisfy that, can go several different directions, and there's some right responses and there's some wrong responses. Notice Cain in the next chapter, Genesis 4 and 1 through 8. I'm not sure if we'll read all of it, but verse 3, "In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, and Abel he also brought of the firstlings of the flock, and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him." And you'll find that that's a common story. As man tries to find acceptance and tries to find his place, if he chooses the wrong path, it can drive him to many, many evil extremes. And there's a right and there's a wrong way to find our place, to find acceptance, to follow what God has for us. Feelings are never a reliable guide for action or inaction. And I don't know what all Cain was thinking there, but he had truth. He had direction that he could follow. But he didn't follow that, and his feelings of rejection and of jealousy for his brother took over. And he tried to find acceptance by evil means, by destroying those who were accepted. That doesn't work. It's obviously a very, very wrong way to do it. There's always a choice involved in searching to belong. There's always a choice involved in how we're going to meet those desires within us. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end is death. God has provided the right way through his Son and the various governments in our life, so to speak, the various authorities in our life, to help us to find that, whether it's home or church, There's some civil government that speaks to us, a conscience that's educated by the Word and the Holy Spirit. We don't need to sample evil to satisfy those desires within us. We don't need to sample evil. There is authority and direction in our lives that can help us find our way through that. There's many different ways that we can. 1 Corinthians 14:40, let all things be done decently and in order. There's a decent and a correct way to follow God's will and to find God's place for our lives. Galatians 5:15, if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. There's many different ways that man, as he's searching for his place, his interactions with other people are affected so much. And many times end up destroying each other. We all come under accountability to various authorities in life's experiences, and we need to respect this order that God has created. Now, I want to look at another example of someone who was finding his way through life and where he fit, and found that his choices made a big difference in where his home was physically and spiritually, really. Genesis 13, Lot, the account of Lot. I want to read some there. Let's turn to that. Genesis 13. Genesis 13 and verse 8. Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. If thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. And Abraham dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And this is so typical of our lives, as we just go through life, there are circumstances that come up that force us to find our place, to where are we going to, in a very tangible sense, live? Where are we going to fit in? Where are we going to, who are we going to relate with? There's lots of different questions that come together. But the thing I'm impressed with is it's such a tangible, earthly questions came up here. They were very legitimate, but they needed to be answered. And in the process of finding answers to those, Lot chose to move down into the plains there and toward, and it's so outstanding the way it notes there that he pitched his tent toward Sodom. What was he looking for? Who was he trying to please? Where was he trying to find acceptance? Where was he trying to fit? The rest of the story helps us to understand where he was at, where his heart was. But I mean, wouldn't there have been a way that he could have stayed closer to his uncle, to Abraham, that he could have maintained that relationship rather than establishing relationships down in the plain? Wouldn't have there been a way that he could have stayed in a different, closer to his godly uncle and found his place there? Genesis 19:1. Several chapters later, I'll just read several verses. There came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. So he was finding his place of belonging right in the city. Doesn't go very long, and he found his place right there in the gate. And 2 Peter 2, verse 7, his commentary on Lot, says that the angels that came, they delivered just Lot, who was vexed with filthy conversation of the wicked. He was in the midst of the wickedness, and that's where he found himself. But he found himself there because of his deliberate choice. Did Lot belong there? Is that where he should have found the answers to his questions and his need to belong? And you can see how deeply he was entrenched there, and we can go through a number of verses there. Genesis 19, 14 through 18 is where Lot went and tried to talk with his son-in-laws and tell them to come out, and he seemed to them as one that mocked. And till finally in verse 15 and 16, when the morning arose, the angels hastened Lot, saying, "Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of this city." And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. Where did Lot belong? Where should have he belonged? Well, in his mind and in where he placed himself, he belonged in that city. The angels from God knew he didn't belong there and were trying to get him out. Search to belong. Where was his place? And it goes further than that, of course, with Lot's wife. When she was brought out, verse 23 there. Verse 24, the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven, and he overthrew those cities and all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And that gets into some of the difficult situations of life. I mean, she left family behind. She left, we don't know what all. There was grandchildren there, daughters. She had left there. And so there was, we can somewhat understand that part of her heart was there. That there was a sense that she felt like a part of her belonged back there. And yet, couldn't she see the great picture of what it was really all about? The tremendous evil that was there and what they were trying to spare her from. Was she curious about the forbidden? Humanly speaking, it seems unfair for us to pass much judgment on her, a real harsh judgment on her. We can sense that there were some things there that pulled her mind. And yet, God's calling us to find where we belong, to find those answers to the needs of our life. And he is giving us direction. Luke 17:32 admonishes us to remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Think about that. Think about the choices we're making and where we call our home, where we find the answers to our life. Now, another example from scriptures of one who made tremendous choices to find the answers for life, to find out where she belonged, was the account of Ruth, Naomi and Ruth. Let's turn to Ruth chapter 1. We're not going to read a lot, but we'll just kind of skim over it. Ruth chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons, and they took them wives of the women of Moab, and the name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth, and they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. The first verse of the chapter, there was a famine in the land. They needed to find answers to that. Very tangible question. They made a choice to move out to Moab. And then these men died, and again, they found they needed to answer the questions, where do we belong? Where are we going to put down our roots? Where does God want us to be? It's the way we would look at it, as we know in the New Testament especially, that God lives within us. Realize that God's working very closely in our lives, and we see how God was working in here. and Naomi and Ruth. But she followed. She made some right choices as she tried to answer those questions of where her place was in life. Verses 7 and 8. For she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on to the way to return unto the land of Judah. Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each to your mother, to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And then jumping down to verse 15, Naomi talking to Ruth, she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is going back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go. And continues on with that classic commitment to follow God and to find her place among his people. We're talking about a search to belong. This was a woman who had lost her husband and was trying to find her way, and saw in God and his people the place where she wanted to be, where she wanted to establish her. And even though she didn't know the future and she didn't know, have any idea what all that meant, she chose to follow that, through. Ruth, chapter 1, verse 20, Naomi is saying, Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Lord Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I mean, it was a difficult time, as she faced life. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then ye call ye me Naomi, saying, The Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me. There are times in this life that God's people will feel rejection. They don't seem to fit. And we don't fully understand why God allows us to go through those times, why God allowed Naomi and Ruth to go through all this. And yet we see that God was working the whole way through. God had a plan the whole way through. And yet in the middle of it, there was feelings of rejection and not knowing where their place was, not knowing what would happen next, and where they should live, and where they would get their meals, and all those things. Romans chapter 11, verses 2 through 5, let's just turn to them, because it's just a record, account pointing to where God was working with his people. And it highlights that he takes his people through mountains and valleys. Romans chapter 11, verses 2 through 5. Romans 11, verse 2, God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and dig down thy daughters, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. God allowed those circumstances to happen and allowed Elijah to come to that point. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then is it no more of works? Let me see. I was down to the end of 5 is where I'll stop. But Elijah went through a tremendous valley there. God eventually told him that there was lots of others that were still faithful, but he didn't know that the whole way through. And there's times in our lives where we face valleys and apparent rejection, and sometimes very real rejection, and we don't always know where we fit. We don't always know where our place is. There may be times in life that the search to belong is very intense. Life has different stages as we go through it. And there's times probably in our youth we're more sensitive to that in a number of aspects than some other times. Sometimes in courtship, as you work through that, sometimes there's can be intense feelings like that. As we relate to brothers and sisters in the church, sometimes it seems like people don't accept you the way you think they should, or you don't understand why they relate to you the way they do. And that can raise questions for us. Maybe you had a strong interest to help someone else, and you tried, and it didn't work out the way you thought it should. They rejected it, or they took it the wrong way, or it didn't end up helping, but didn't end up making a difference. There's many different times when we put ourselves into a situation like that so much, and it doesn't turn out the way we had hoped it would, that raises questions in our minds. Many times like the psalmist David, as he looked around at the wicked, but even amongst ourselves, there's different gifts and different abilities and different material possessions that God has given to different people. And as we work back and forth and relate to all that, sometimes the tempter tries to get that to come in between us and to divide us and to make us feel like someone has way more than we do, or they have way certain benefits that we don't have. And we feel discouraged because of that. Many times people look at us and might think that we have it made. We have everything in place. And they don't realize some of the struggles that we're going through, some of the difficulties that we face. So there's many different ways that we can face those questions, and those questions come to us, and we need to work our way through them. We need to find answers. We need to find our place in life. And people today turn many different directions to find answers to that. And that's why many people turn to drugs and to alcohol and to music and to cars and to dress and many other wrong ways to try to find fulfillment in life and try to find acceptance. Many people turn to many of those wrong ways. There are right ways and wrong ways. And many times when those things don't bring the answers they want, don't bring the satisfaction and the success that they're looking for, they end up resorting to more drastic means like Cain did. Searching to belong. In the final analysis, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus wants to be the path that we follow through life as we are born and grow into maturity and find our way. He wants us to follow His will, follow Him. He has a plan for each of us. Psalm 27:14 says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Now that word wait is pretty difficult sometimes because we need an answer now. We need to face the situation now. We think we're in the middle of it. The psalmist said, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage. He will strengthen your heart." God has an answer, but many times we have to wait for it. Many times comes as we just trust and rest in Him and wait on Him. Another verse from Psalm 37:7, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way." Speaking about some of those things we were talking about, seeing others who are prospering, fret not yourself about it. Wait on the Lord. Rest in Him. Wait patiently. Back to Naomi and Ruth in verse 22 of the chapter we were in there, I believe, chapter 1. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest. And yeah, we could just follow through that story. But so they came back, they found the place, and God's provision was there. It was the beginning of barley harvest. There was a place for her to find food. There was someone there who was going to help her. God had it all planned out. But as she worked through that, there was a lot of faith exercised, tremendous amount of faith. We could look at a number of other examples from Scripture. Simon Peter, as he was trying to find his way, and he wanted with his heart to serve Christ wholeheartedly. Jesus asked him if he would stand with him in Luke 22. And of course, then when the test came, when he was in Pilate's hall there, then he denied Christ. He was trying to find his place, trying to find a place that he fit. And he was working through those questions of acceptance and all those pressures that came upon his life. And he came out right in the end, but he had to work. There was some difficult times there as he worked through that. I want to turn to John 21. I think that's the account we're talking about there. There's a number of different examples we could look at like that, and there's many more cases that we could see. Now, the thinking about the place we do belong, and especially as we look ahead. Hebrews chapter 11, 9 and 10 say like this, talking about Abraham. Abraham was there, okay, and Lot was trying to find his place, but Abraham knew where he belonged. And Hebrews says that where he belonged, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country. That land he was dwelling in, he knew he didn't belong there in the long term. He was dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He wasn't looking for a Sodom. He wasn't looking for a greener pasture, better mountaintop, whatever, better valley, better pasture, better plain. What Abraham was looking for was a city which didn't have foundations, whose builder and maker was God. That's where he wanted to belong. That's where he was putting his trust in. That's where he was aiming for. Think about the search to belong in this life. And then think about what it's like when that comes to pass, when Abraham gets to that city where the builder and maker is God. Think about our future. Revelation chapter 1, verse 7 says, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen." Now, we're talking about wanting to belong, a desire to belong, and sometimes feelings that we don't. I tell you, that's going to be a real feeling of not belonging. There's going to be a tremendous rejection when Jesus comes back and people see him, meet him. "Every eye shall see him, they also which pierced him, and all kinds of the earth." And they're going to face rejection. Revelation 20, verse 10. "The devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night, forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." You ought to turn to that, Revelation 20. I'd just like you to look through. I'm going to read several more verses there. But you talk about belonging. You know, that's the place that's really going to matter. If you belong or if you don't belong, that's where it's going to count. and the feelings of rejection, or the elation of belonging is going to be, that's where it all comes together. Notice there at the end of verse 11, Revelation 20, the end of verse 11, there was found no place for them. Verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. And you can maybe, with some of the feelings of rejection and not belonging, you can get just the tiniest sense of what that will be like. But that will be utter rejection, to be cast away from God into eternal darkness like that. But we know Revelation 22, verse 17 and 20, I'll read. Revelation 22, next page or so. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. To those that have found their place with Him, have found acceptance with God, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Go. The search to belong starts in the Garden of Eden there when God created man, made a place for him. A man, through the tempter, walked away from that and has been searching on through life. May we be faithful so that we belong when we get to the end of life. That's what it's all about. May God help you as you face your journey through life and the many mountains and valleys that are in the midst of that, that can be so big to us and can seem and are so real. But let's keep our eyes on that final acceptance with God. Let's pray. Let's bow. Our Father in heaven, we come before you this evening, thankful for your word. We are thankful for your truth that you shared with us. Thank you for your plan and the way you've created us. You created us with a desire to find acceptance and meaning in life and a place that we fit. Help us to find legitimate answers for that and to follow your will as we find our way through life and the many, many very real questions that come our way and that we need to deal with. Many different times we feel rejection as we go through this life. Help us to keep our eye and our goal on that heavenly city and our goal to belong there and to fit there, to be accepted by you. Live our lives so that we can be, so that we will find your acceptance when we reach the end of our lives. We just pray you be with the congregation here, be with each one that's here this evening. We pray you'd bless their hearts, give them wisdom and strength to face each day. You know exactly the challenges and needs that we each have. We know that you're faithful. Thank you for all that you've done. In Jesus' name, amen.